Let's get it on. This is the Strength and Skills Podcast with your hosts, Nick and Dennis.
Hello, everyone.
So, what we got in store today is an episode just about warm-up. Warming up, how you do it, how you should do it, how you shouldn't do it, and what's stupid and what's intelligent.
Exactly. And we will talk about weighted warm-ups and skills warm-ups. So, have everything in. So, do you want to get it started? Like, how do you warm up? How do your clients warm up?
Let's start with something like a general warm-up that's probably the thing for everybody.
Exactly.
All right. First of all, most people think what they have to do is get on a treadmill and just run a little bit. And then there's the other group that thinks that these people are stupid and you have to do 45 minutes of mobility training before you even start training.
And then there's the people that just go to the squat rack and start squatting.
In my opinion, none of them are right. Looking at it, it is definitely a thing that you can bring your heart rate up. It is okay. You don't need to, but you can do so. If you feel better with it, you can do so.
I have, like, for example, I'm a person, I bike to the gym. So
that's your warm-up.
That's my cardiovascular warm-up, if you want to say like that. Or I used to do some movement like rope jumping or something like that.
Perfect.
Just to get the blood rush? Yeah, exactly. Just to get the heart pumping and get blood everywhere. And just tell your body, okay, it's time to start.
Yeah. For me, I don't do that. I just don't mm-hmm. like it. For mm-hmm. me, I do it in general. I do it a little bit more specific that I just warm up the areas that I really need for the day that's coming up. So if that's like, okay, today it's squats and heavy dips. In my case, I'm the weighted guy. So I usually warm up the whole body, but that's more specific to, I make sure my hips are ready for rolling. I do have some routines I do, as usual, but that's a little bit more my individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we definitely have to dive into, as every person should have their own style of warming up, but there are some like general rules that what you should do. So what you should do is definitely getting a little bit warmed up by some specific stuff, like having your shoulder girdle warm, having your hips warm, everything is ready to fire. Like if you have an office job mm-hmm. and you're set all day, probably your hips are not in the best condition to start squatting yeah. right away. That's yeah. something you shouldn't do. So warm up the hips with maybe a mobility flow. You can do so, but this one shouldn't go for 45 minutes. You can do that in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. I generally start with a whole body warm up, even though if I only train upper body, let's say, mm-hmm. but usually if you have skills in it, it's good to still have warm hips. That's super important. So let's say I start like from top and I just go to bottom. Mm-hmm. I move my neck around. I do everything like around 10 to 12 until 20 reps, like just circling the arms. So everything gets nice and warm. I move from up to down. And then, depending on the day, I start a certain specific routine. Mm-hmm. So if I know my first exercise are, for example, heavy pull-ups,
mm-hmm.
I do exactly like you said too, a specific warm-up for scapula, shoulders, some light pull-ups, and see how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I use the warm-up a lot to see how fit I am too. Mm-hmm. Since some of my training is based on auto-regulating factors, especially the weighted stuff. I see like how I feel when I warm up too, and how I'm gonna approach the session.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, for example, little things that I use as like markers to see how tired I am, for example, or how far I'm into the weeks, like it gets worse and worse and something I notice, like how much fatigue I'm accumulating is like my grip strength.
Mm-hmm.
When I grab the bar for the warm up and just to warm up a bit the shoulders.
That's actually a pretty good indicator for how good you are, how fatigued you are.
Exactly, yeah. And I feel my grip strength. Even before grip strength, usually the thing that gets more tired is the explosiveness. So it's the first thing that goes. Like if you have a plan that's structured around 4 weeks, usually you see that at the end of week two or starting of week three, the explosiveness starts like to get worse.
Yeah.
And then around week four, you feel the grip strength going, and then you know it's time for a deload. And you know that the load you had was good enough to make you tired in the time it had to make you tired, and you get to a deload when you need it without like wasting useless time. And those are markers that are super, super important. So I like to do some explosive pull-ups, maybe sometimes if I have muscle-ups in the plan or so before, or I like to do handstand push-ups as a marker of fatigue too. It's
mm-hmm.
a movement that I don't have in the plan right now, for example, and I just put it in my warm-up routine to keep it fresh because it's a skill that takes a lot of work and a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I just do one rep for three sets, which is enough to maintain it and keep it nice. And I feel if I'm tired or not. And if I really feel too tired to do it and I know it will have effects on my training, I leave it out. It's like something I put in sometimes and I don't put in all the time, so depending on how I feel.
Yeah.
So I keep my warm up similar, but not the exact same all the time.
Yeah, same here.
Like that. Yeah.
What I also do is checking my readiness.
Mm-hmm.
But that's already something that I start that when I'm on the way into the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting mentally ready for this, and that's a very important factor actually, as I noticed. If I don't do that and start doing that in the gym, my workout is mostly not so much on point as when I start doing that, hyping myself up in the car when I'm on the way to the gym.
Okay.
And then when I come to the gym,
I
just put on my clothes and stuff, but I do check explosiveness, I do
mm-hmm.
check this grip strength thing.
Mm-hmm.
And another indicator for me is also balance and handstands.
Yeah.
Massive thing.
That's with the handstand push-ups very, very similar. Like I feel the like this often like little muscles that you use for
mm-hmm.
for stability and holding something, they don't want anymore.
Yeah. So you know how ready you are for the workout today, and that's pretty well if you're auto-regulated.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can definitely lower the progression or lower the weight for whatever you do on
mm-hmm.
that day. And that's not only for stuff on the upper body. As when you warm up, and you probably feel a little bit tired in the shoulder girdle, round about your scapula and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
then the workout probably won't go too well.
Yeah.
It depends. Sometimes it's good if you feel it, when there's a little bit of fatigue there, then you feel it a little bit better, and you definitely perform better. That was the case actually today.
Yeah, for me the same. Today I went into the workout pretty sore because I had a pretty long deloads, let's say, before getting into this week again. So I felt a bit sore from the first session, but it didn't tire me too much. I went super well today, and I can feel my muscles very, very well.
That's when.
Yeah.
For me, it was definitely my shoulder girdle that was a little bit tired. All the little small muscle fibers around my scapula, they were just screaming.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, that was good for me as I felt a little bit better, and so I could do my dips a little bit better. That was well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I like to do is also checking the readiness of my hips.
Yeah.
Before I do, in my case, I do my squats, but I think that's something you can also use for skills and stuff.
Yeah.
Doing some something I learned from you might know that functional range conditioning. So they're doing these CARS stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What me in the end, it means just moving your ligaments in the most, can I say, extended position?
Extended, yeah. Most. I think, yeah.
In the end range of your motion.
Yeah.
And really moving it there, very slow and very controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do with my arms, with my wrists, with my legs, even with my ankles. That works pretty well as a warm-up for me. I do recommend that to my own athletes, and I think for them it works pretty well too. That's some stuff we actually do all the time. And then there are some people who do like going on the treadmill for 5 minutes or something. It's okay to me.
Yeah.
I don't do it, but I don't judge it if you do it.
Yeah.
If you feel better with that, that's probably okay.
Yeah.
And
the only thing is it can't be your only warm up.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be the only warm up, because if you go and do an exercise, and I think people have more respect for weights. So when they know they have to do weighted stuff, they usually do warm up sets. Like they do squats with just a bar and like do 10 to 15 reps.
It depends. I had athletes that didn't do that, and I didn't know that. That was crazy. They did it for months, and they just jumped into it, doing like deadlifting 150 kg.
Oh my god!
Without doing any warm-ups. That was crazy. And then we had a conversation about, I don't know, I don't remember what we were talking about, but we came to this topic doing warm-up sets, and they looked at me, what do you mean by warm-up sets? And I was like, it was completely normal to me, so I didn't even mention it before, and we were training together for months. Yeah. I mean, it's online coaching. I don't see everything they do, but that was crazy. So from that moment on, I realized it's not that normal to people as it is for me.
Yeah.
So do your warm-up sets and do it smart.
Yeah.
So actually, when you do weighted warm-up sets.
It's like, explain how would you structure a weighted warm-up set, for example, for squats?
Actually, what we already mentioned, doing your
after
the general one
after doing this hip specific one, and then like you go to the bar and you probably start doing squats only with the bar, or you're ready.
I do start with only the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Usually,
that's what I do too.
Sometimes it depends a little bit on how I do feel on that day.
Mm-hmm.
I do some activating stuff, like sometimes when I sat all day from work, I do have to activate my glutes before and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I recommend to everybody. Yeah, doing like one leg hip thrusts and stuff like that. Sometimes I need some leg extensions and stuff to get my quads firing.
Mm-hmm.
That works pretty well to me.
Yeah.
But you will find your exercise that you feel very well, and that helps you just really bringing the muscle fibers to firing.
Yeah.
And that's what you want there. That's what I actually do before. And then I go to the bar, do really squatting only the barbell, and then putting on weight.
Yeah.
And in my case, I do start usually with 225s on the side,
mm-hmm.
But that depends on how strong you are.
Exactly.
In the end. Yeah, so.
I think that's something you have to feel for yourself. For example, let's take squats. I'm not used to doing them. I haven't started too long ago to do them again after a few years off. So I really warm up very well for them. I take my time.
Yep.
I really like the leg extension to like activate the quads nicely. I like Bulgarian split squats a lot because I can stretch, like I use them to stretch my psoas at the
yep.
same time, which is a bit too short, especially from sitting all the time, being student and stuff. And then I do like my squats with the only the bar, then like I load 20 kilos for the end. I go from there like in 10 to 20 kilo steps, something like that. And in dips, I warm up more than for pull-ups too, for example. Pull-ups, I feel like I can, like I usually start with 20 kg as a warm-up, then go up to 30 or 35, and then
Do you do body weight before?
Yeah. I do body weight before.
Okay.
And I, like, sometimes I had, like, one-on pull-up work before, so I had an extra specific routine for the one-ups.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't even need to warm up for them, but I like doing one or two sets to feel. And with dips, I'm a bit more careful and I do a few more. So it's not like a written rule how many you have to do. It's a lot how you feel on that day and to get a feeling how the weight will be and how much Monster you need to drink to really make the set.
The caffeine junkies. All right. What I like to mention, especially for upper body movements, I think that's something very underestimated, is activation drills for the shoulder girdle. I think that's something that does need to be mentioned, as it is something we needed in weighted, and we also needed in all the skill work.
So,
and
girdle is belt for everyone.
Shoulder girdle.
Shoulder girdle.
Shoulder
that?
Girdle. It's usually
what?
Schulter girdle.
Yeah.
The German.
Really?
Word.
It's like
it
kindergarten. How funny. I didn't know that.
Actually, he's learning a vocabulary.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool.
Or so.
So all the little muscles around your scapula, that's the thing you need to activate before. You don't need to, but it probably will improve your performance.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
As scapula positioning is something so important, even for weighted as it is for skills. You shouldn't underestimate that, and you're wasting potential if you don't do so.
Yeah,
definitely. So learn how to move your scapula in every direction, like elevation, depression, protraction, and even retraction. So move it in all the ways, move it around.
And those are very good drills to do, for example, with, or you can use a resistant band or only against the ear. You can do it monoarticularly, so just one arm and like go through the motions. It's very important. And exactly what thing you said before, a thing that's very underestimated, especially in skills, is everyone forgets about their glutes and their legs.
Mm-hmm.
So especially the hip and glute area, it's super important as a skills athlete and your first exercise is planche, to really understand how to feel your hamstrings, to feel your glutes, and to understand the compression of the abs very well. Like, these three things are things that I have to say 10 times over in feedbacks usually, because people don't activate them well. So I, for example, before I planche, I do a lot of hip mobility. So I move my hip around a lot. I work a bit of my hamstrings. I even do some leg curls because I used to always get cramps in the hamstrings.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't anymore. I activate my glutes doing some one leg hip thrust or just some hip thrusts, and I do some dragon flags to really feel my abs, or just hanging leg raises, so some compression work.
And that's something very, very important also in all the weighted movements, having a very stable core.
Yeah.
and really being able to use that.
Yeah. So you have to like to feel your core before you go into the exercise. Otherwise, it's super hard, especially if you deadlift or you squat with very high weights. If you lose the tension there, it's not good.
We don't need to hype that up too much.
Yeah, of course.
I think do you remember the book? I think what was core performance. That was a big thing in the fitness industry, and that was a little bit overhyped. But it is true that the core is something like the power center of your body, and if you have activated everything in there very well, you definitely just perform better.
Yeah.
But one thing I definitely need to mention now, warming up, as big as it sounds right now, should be a warm-up. Warming up is not a workout, and you shouldn't be fatigued by that. Yeah. That's something very important, as we talk a whole episode about warming up now, but you don't, you shouldn't take all the information that we are
warm up for half an hour. No, it doesn't work like that. So I don't know how long your warm-ups are, but mine usually are between 12 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
12 to 15 minutes.
For me,
I think that's a good time. And like in these 15 minutes, I started doing my first warm-up sets for squats, for example, already.
Exactly. So it's the same to me.
Yeah.
Usually it depends a little bit on the day.
Yeah.
When I do have a bad day, like you jump into it and you just don't feel that well. My warm-up usually takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I do some more sets. But my warm-up is always in between 10 to 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it tends to be more 10 minutes than 20.
Yeah.
But the warm-up sets are not included in that.
Exactly, yeah.
When I do my warm-up sets, that's a little bit, takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
As when I go up in the weight with squats and stuff.
Yeah, that takes a while.
That takes a little bit longer. Yeah.
And
that's normal.
And the same thing is for planche, for example. And that's, I think, the point I wanted to make before. Like when I said, people have respect for weights, but I guess not everyone has. And people think about doing some warm-up sets before. On skills, people don't think like that. They don't think that going into full planche is extremely stressful for your body, especially if it's like you have a 2-second hold and it really is a 1 RM almost for you. And people just go into it, like without even warming up well their elbows, their biceps, etc., etc. And that's a thing that happens extremely often. And I am very careful. Probably not everyone like is, but I had my bad times with planche, and I do some curls to warm up my biceps. I do a lot of work for my elbows. I do a lot of work for my wrists. I do a lot of work for my serratus, for example, because if you make a planche and you lean it from the floor, like you put it up, leaning from the floor, it uses a lot of those muscles, and many people don't think about it. So, and then I usually do some planche leans, some elevation, some depression work, some retraction, protraction work, maybe do advanced tuck hold, do banded holds to understand how to activate my glutes well when I go into the planche, and only then I do my first set of planche. So, and that takes a while too, and I don't count it as like the warm-up we were talking before. So that's probably other 5 to 10 minutes only warming up for that movement. For other movements like the one arm pull-up, I do some normal pull-ups, some archer pull-ups if I really want to. I usually do my one arm pull-ups weighted, so maybe if I feel very good on that day, I do a one arm pull-up and then I do the weighted one arm pull-up. So I think we covered all the important points. So what you have to do, and maybe a few things, what you don't have to do, like Nick said before, many people tend to warm up too much.
Mm-hmm.
After we recorded this episode in German, I talked to one of my students, and like he warms up for almost half an hour. He warms up forever. And I was like, keep it short. He said, I feel good doing that and I don't feel as tired. And if I do less, my performance isn't as good. So
that's okay.
So that's okay. Like, okay, like I still think it's strange, but if it works for you and it feels good, like why not? And that's something like you have to find something for you, but try to play around a bit and see if it really helped. Like if you manage to, you have a tight schedule and you don't have a lot of time to do everything you need to do to feel good and stay injury free, but without wasting any time. So don't do stuff that just takes up time and doesn't help you at all.
Yeah. Another thing that we definitely need to mention is how you do your warm-up sets properly. That's something a lot of people do like a little bit too much warm-up sets, sometimes also too less, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, in my opinion, you should do like two or three warm-ups. Usually it depends a little bit on how high you go with the weight for weighted.
Say, for example, if you're warming up for your 90% of your 1RM, I think like
exactly
you should do
for a single something. Then you go up like with like two or three sets on like 2 to 4 reps,
mm-hmm,
up to 50%. And from 50% on, I would jump into it up to 65% with like two more warm-ups,
mm-hmm,
in between.
Yeah.
And then maybe in 5% steps,
yeah,
up to the 90% one rep max.
Yeah. Generally, I
it's a little bit difficult.
So like 3 to 4 warm-up sets, exactly, until like your 3RM, if you want to make your 1RM. And then you start putting on a bit more weight on, and then like you do your working sets towards the 1RM, going up like 2.5 plates or something like that.
What is very important to point out right now is when you do your warm-up sets, that's something that you do to make sure you have a good technique, even if you have weight on it. And that's the most important stuff that you have right here. So when you do your warm-ups, you don't have to do like 10 reps or something to get fatigued or something. Jump into it on like up to, if it depends a little bit, if you have to squat like 12 reps for 3 sets or something, then it's okay to even do like 6 reps or 8 reps maybe in the warm-up. But the closer you come to the weight you're moving, the less reps you do.
Yeah.
That's the big
point.
That's
very important, yeah. So even if you have like a 3RM, like, or 3 reps to do in your working set, do singles before. Like,
yeah.
So you have a 70 kilogram dip and you do a single with 60, you do a single with 65 if you really have to, and then you do your 70.
Yeah.
And then
you go for 70 for 3.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, and it's the same for squats. Yeah, when you start squatting and you have to do like a triple of 200. I do say a number that most calisthenics people just, oh my god. Yeah, you have to do a triple with 200, and you work up. Then you do maybe your last warm up with 190 for 1. And then you do the triple for 200.
Yeah.
So watch out that you don't overdo it, but you can definitely also do too less. And that's something
enough.
you can see that when you have like 3 sets and the first set felt heavier than the last one, you probably didn't warm up well. So if you notice that in your workout, you know it for the next time, you need better need a little bit of more warm-up.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to know. For this.
So next thing up, so we talked a bit like how we warm up, and usually for me it goes more in the direction of mobility. So I don't do passive stretching for my warm up. So what's your take on the mobility stretching side of things? Like, I do things for reps in usually banded in a certain like range that I will use to have some resistance there and build up some force there, so my muscle gets ready to be stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like. I don't like to keep my muscle in a passive stretch and bring it in a range where it's not ready to resist against the force that will apply to it when I do a certain movement. Let's say if I stretch my biceps and like I stretch it passively super long and it overextends and it's usually not in that range and I planche, I really risk to get injured because like it's not used to have my whole body weight applied on it in that position. And that's why I like doing resistant band stuff especially and bring it in ranges and with a certain force to like get the blood flowing and like get it ready for the stimulus. So what's your take on that?
I would say it depends. The classic answer. So for me, it is, you shouldn't make out of it like 30 minutes of only stretching.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you're, for me, it's mostly for squats.
Yeah.
Or for handstands.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm a little bit just tight and can't get into the position right as I'm very fatigued.
Yeah.
Or maybe I was sitting all day and then I do some stretches.
Yeah, that is, so I do that too. That's very true. Like I'm talking about muscles that get super stressed during the exercise. In the handstand, for example, I open up my shoulder and do passive stretches for them too, because just doing some shoulder dislocation isn't enough.
And that makes even sense because you open up and then you bring power into this range.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very, very important thing. If you do some stretches before to get into the right, you get into the position.
Yeah.
And then do strength training into this, then you fill up the range that you're already, that you now got.
Yeah.
With power. And then later on, you probably get more of mobility. And that's a big thing because mobility is the ability to move in certain areas of your body.
Exactly. To apply force in, like, to not only be able to go into a split, but like to stand up from a split again.
That's real mobility.
Yeah, that's real mobility. That's like an exercise that's very visual too, where you see it. There are people that can do the split, but they can't get up. They can't apply force in that position. And there are people who can go down in a split and up again.
Yep.
That's a difference between passive stretching and mobility. Yep.
And the big thing about that is right now, what a lot of people do understand a little bit wrong when it comes to stretching and mobility. Do what you really need for the things you want to do. So for most people, there's no reason to learn a split because you don't need it for anything. Except you're maybe like a handstand artist or really into handstands and you need a very good split. And that's something it may be good for a straddle planche.
If you want to cheat your planche.
There we go. then you can also go for a split and being able to, just help yourself with that a little bit. But for most people who do training for being a little bit more healthy, a little bit stronger and stuff, it just doesn't matter. And for those who are into like really strength training and maybe competitions and all that stuff, you just need the range that you need. And that's a big thing. And you don't need more, and you shouldn't have less. So that's it. It's always good for your health to see that from that point, to have a certain mobility, but there is also too much.
Yeah.
And it takes too much time from your training to get this mobility and even into those stretches, and you could use that time to get even stronger. And that's a big thing a lot of people just underestimate, and I would like to point that out because it's really a thing to my heart.
Yeah. If you want to get it, and if it's one of your goals and it's useful for you, do it, why not? But not everyone is made to be able to do a split.
Yeah.
It depends a lot on your hip anatomy, and for people it's more harmful than good. And yeah, what are your goals?
Yeah. So, what do we learn in the end? Do you warm up? Do you do a specific warm up? Do your warm up sets? Don't do too much stretching and mobility, but do it.
Yeah.
Check your fatigue and get a mental warm up.
Yeah. I think we covered it all. Maybe a little thing I want to add, and something that I implemented in my workouts, or I try at least, if I don't have to run away from the gym after working out, is a little cool down. There I like more the passive stretches, let's say, just to very, very easy, just to wind down after the session and tell my body the session is over and you can start to rest up and regenerate. So that's a thing that I'm trying to implement. I didn't used to, like after working out, I went straight to the uni or somewhere I needed to be. But now I try to keep a little window to do that too. And I feel like it helps me to just calm down after the session.
Okay.
Yeah. And close it up.
Well, I think we have it now. That's our warm-up episode. And if you liked this one, please make sure to share it on your social media to help us a little bit spread the message. And if you learned a lot and think you need some more help for statics, then you better contact Dennis right away. And if you want to get the real power for yourself, for weighted calisthenics and street lifting, then you hit me up.